What if I told you that the secret to unlocking your creative potential was as simple as brushing your teeth or making your morning coffee? Creativity is not something you have, it's something you do. And today I'm going to show you exactly how tiny habits can transform your creative life in ways you never thought possible. Welcome to the Now Go Create podcast, where I share practical ways to a more creative and fulfilling work life. I'm your host, Claire Bridges, and in the spirit of tiny changes, this episode is less than 30 minutes, packed with science-backed techniques that have helped thousands of people to make changes. Stay with me because by the end of the episode, you'll have four simple habits that you can start doing today to spark more ideas, solve more problems, and bring more joy to your work and life, no matter how busy you are. This episode is the love child of two things I've been doing a lot recently: binging on Mel Robbins' podcasts on making positive changes that stick, and reading behavioral scientist BJ Fogg's best-selling book, Tiny Habits. Behavioral science, in layman's terms, is essentially the study of why we do what we do. Think of it as trying to understand the patterns behind human decisions and actions. It combines insights from psychology, economics, and neuroscience to explain how and why we behave in certain ways. I'm lucky enough to have PR agency founder Gemma Moroney as my micro guest today in the spirit of this episode, who says that learning about the science I'm going to share with you totally blew her mind, with a life-changing impact on how she works and runs her business. I don't know about you, but I have so many good intentions about everything from daily juicing to exercising more to being more productive and just trying to be a better human being. But the list of things I should or I could be doing is overwhelming, and I often end up doing nothing because it all just seems a bit too hard. One of the insights from Mel Robbins that's really landed with me is that whether or not you like it or even acknowledge it, that we all have habits and routines for almost everything. And it might just be that some of your habits are just not working for you. So take my morning habit. I probably don't have a great morning routine when I think about it and I break it down. And what I've realized is that I'm not totally in control, or what I should say is that I've ceded control. If you've got kids, you probably know what I'm talking about. Basically, I wake up when my child wakes me up, and it's roughly the same time every morning, but that's definitely earlier than I would choose it to be. And it's a bit like a rough jolt into the world. There's a demand, and then the dog piles on. And then I might get a sugary tea that's delivered by my husband just to caffeinate the wheels. But a green juice, light yoga, and meditation, it is not. And if I think about it, it's probably not the best way to set myself up for the day. But I have set myself up like this, and this is my habit. So one of my new favorite morning rituals is a BJ Fogg Tiny Habits 101. And it's called the Maui Habit. And it begins the minute you put your feet on the floor. And what you say to yourself is simply this: today is going to be a good day. Now, if there's a lot going on and you really don't believe yourself, what you can do is just add the word somehow. So say, today is going to be a good day somehow. And I've been doing this since January. And in a tiny way, it does set me up better for that day. In terms of my mood later on, it's a start. It's just a small start. And in relation to creativity, I think, again, things can just seem to be overwhelming. You're busy, you've got a to-do list, you need ideas under pressure, and sometimes it can all feel too much. So what I'm thinking about is calling this acts of micro-creativity. So today, I've got four tiny ways to inject a bit more creativity into your everyday. The first one is to start a creativity journal. Now, that might sound a bit grand, but stick with me. So this first habit is all about capturing your creative thoughts. Keeping a journal might sound simple, but it's incredibly effective. So get a notebook that is just for you to write in. Maybe journaling sounds too grand. Let's call it thought catching, whatever you like. And after your morning coffee or tea or whatever it is, just take a moment to jot down just one thing, one idea, one observation or a thought. It does not have to be groundbreaking. The act of just doing this one line can make you start to create a habit of nurturing your creativity. And the act of writing just builds this habit of noticing and nurturing. And over time, these small entries can become the seeds of big ideas, or maybe they won't amount to anything. But what they're doing is they are getting you over the hurdle of the blank page. As author James Clear writes in his book, Atomic Habits, every action you take is a vote for the type of person you wish to become. And by writing daily, you're casting votes for becoming a more creative person. Just think of it like this. It's just one line a day. That's it, if that's all you've got in the tank. Now, I'm a realist and I know that what works for someone else or for me may not work for you. You might have come across the idea of morning pages from the book The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. Now, the morning pages is an exercise that she invites you to do where you write three whole pages, she suggests, of whatever is going on in your brain. It's almost like a stream of consciousness. But I've always had a bit of a problem with the morning pages because, as I say, I have a child that wakes me up and demands breakfast, all the preschool stuff. I'm just not a very good morning person at the best of times. But what I have been trying to do is do a micro journaling process with some quite interesting results. So on the podcast, I've been talking a lot with my guests about tackling your inner critic, or what Julia Cameron calls your censor. We've all got that irritating, snidey roommate in our heads that's there with unhelpful or downright mean commentary sometimes. And what I found this process is that it does get you over this idea that you've got to be in the mood to write or to be creative. You've just got to get stuff out. And it isn't art. It's not writing. There is nothing too petty, too silly, too out there, because it's not for someone else to read. It's for you. And I found it quite meditative. And at a bare minimum, it's like a declutter of your mental junk, which I've quite enjoyed. And I haven't been managing 3 pages, but I've been managing about 3 minutes a morning before I get interrupted by something. And it's been really interesting. And I mentioned to a friend that I've been doing this, and he told me that he journals daily, quickly in the morning, but he does it to look to the day ahead. So rather than a declutter, he does it as an intention setting exercise. And that might be more helpful to some of you. Give it a whirl. Do it on the tube with a coffee. Just start and see what happens. So here's a prompt to get you thinking about this. What is one idea that's been lingering in your mind? Could you write it down today and make it the start of something bigger? Or maybe the act of writing it down means you can just let it go and allow space for something else to come. The BJ Fogg way of doing this to start the new habit is to anchor it to an existing routine, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. So you might say, after I sit down with my morning tea or coffee, I will start my journal. Habit 2 is to celebrate small wins. And Fogg talks about never underestimating the power of celebration. So when you complete a creative task, you reward yourself with maybe a fist pump, a happy dance, or some kind of small treat. And the idea is that the positive reinforcement strengthens this habit loop and makes you actually look forward to creative tasks. He says in Tiny Habits that emotions create habits. And celebrating makes the habit stick and stimulates dopamine release in the brain. So, as I say, this can be a small action to acknowledge what you've achieved. For example, sales teams ring a bell when they've made a sale often to celebrate and to let others know. BJ Fogg says you can do a little dance, smile at yourself in the mirror, or he has this word that he says to himself, which is victory. Now, I know this is incredibly un-British, and I wanted to take a moment here to say hi to our listeners in perhaps less reserved places around the world. I know a little kitchen boogie or the word victory won't unnerve you. So habit 3 is about scheduling micro sessions of creativity. Creativity doesn't require hours and hours, just a little focused effort each day. The writer Elizabeth Gilbert in her book Big Magic suggests that you have a 10-minute timer and you set that every day to do whatever it is you want to do, to write, to sketch, to generate ideas, whatever it is. So I want to invite you, what's a problem that you'd like an answer to today? It could be a work project, maybe it's something closer to home. What is the wildest idea you can think of right now to answer that challenge? Just write it down. You might be surprised where it leads. I think this is a good time to bring Gemma in to talk about how she's implemented this idea of tiny habits into her PR agency, Shook. And that includes making celebrations and building these micro creative sessions into the everyday.
Hi, Claire. I'm Gemma. I'm co-founder of Shook with Damon Stapp, creative comms agency that we set up in 2020. I sit on the strategy side of things, looking after behaviour design. Damon looks after creativity, and we use the two things together to make ideas that shake the world.
Thank you. Thanks so much for being on the podcast today, Gemma. I would love to hear your story about how you got interested in this whole subject area.
Yeah, so to cut a long story short, when I was at Mischief, we had a brief on Dulux, which was a category change brief. So we looked for different ways to approach it. And I happened across BJ Fogg's work on the internet. It went really well in terms of answering that brief. We then used it when Damon and I won the first ever creative shootout to answer a charity brief. And I then was put forward by Frankie Corey for a Wackle Future Leaders bursary. And I was always going to choose going and studying with BJ Fogg. Some people do a mini MBA, some people do the RADA presentation course, but I knew that I was going to use mine to travel thousands of miles across the Atlantic to meet a man that I found on the internet.
And you said it was a life-changing experience for you.
Yeah.
Tell me more about it.
Absolutely. I can't sort of overstate enough. Like, I don't think I have a lot of those life-changing experiences that you hear people talking about on Desert Island Discs, like a teacher or whatever. But sitting in that classroom and learning from him directly, it genuinely blew my mind. And by that point, I've been in the industry for about 20 years. And I was sitting there thinking, hang on, there's loads of stuff that I've been getting completely wrong. And the way that we think about it and approach it as an industry just isn't actually how real people work. And I did check with him, does this mean we don't need creativity? And he said, absolutely not. We need creativity more than ever. But what it did was change how I thought about how we approach that creativity.
And you apply this creativity to briefs, which we're going to talk about in a minute. Tell me about how you apply it at the agency at Shook.
So in terms of the actual agency, when we set up, we thought, well, we better practice what we preach. So we have habits and behaviours embedded into the agency culture. And the ones that I guess are most famous are we have three habits that we ask everyone to do every day. The first is when you get to work in the morning, say it's going to be a great day. And we even do that at our weekly meeting. We say it's going to be a great week. Then when you open your laptop, send one interesting thing to a colleague or a client. And that habit is all about having that broad creative palette. So knowing lots of interesting things, being useful to clients, keeping on top of the news agenda, maybe coming up with newsjacking ideas. But most importantly, is about that palette of things that you've got to draw from, because that's what creativity is, after all, is putting two things together that weren't together before. And the more stuff that you've got to draw on in that palette, the better. And then the third habit is, what did you shake today? And at the end of every day, you've got to share on Slack, what did you shake today? We did it even when it was just two of us, me and Damo. Now, there's a few reasons why we do that. The first is we've obviously got quite big goals and ambitions for our clients and for us as an agency. And that doesn't always happen overnight. So that lets us have a little snapshot of progress along the way. Another reason that it's really good is sometimes you might have a shitty day. Unfortunately, sometimes we all have shitty days, and you can find something good in every day, even if it's been a shitty one. So it helps to remind you of that. And then finally, actually, we didn't mean it to do this, but you can also see like how people are. So if someone isn't doing it for a couple of days, like, are you okay? Are you too busy? Do you need support? It's really helpful from that point of view too. It's also really fun because at the end of the year, we go through them all and we pick out the best ones and spend an hour going through them. Some of them we can't even remember what they were and why they were so funny at the time. Others we laugh a lot about, and then we pick our favourite from the year.
I love that idea of celebration. We were talking about that, and that's one of BJ Fogg's really important points about setting habits, is that idea of celebration, and that the daily celebration somehow gives you then milestones for a weekly, monthly, annual target in a way. Because I think it's a really lovely way to be present as well in the day to day. You know, just think we're so busy, and just to be able to have that moment in the day, but then to see how that builds. It's very much more about things not being about the destination, but being about the journey. And I really love that.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you've either read his book, Tiny Habits, or you've trained with him, one of the things that you will know is that it's celebration or a feeling of success, which is actually what gets something to stick. So it's not the myth of doing it for 21 days or promising yourself a reward or promising yourself a punishment if you don't stick to it. It's actually that feeling of success, which is why he has tiny habits, because you start really, really small. And then you can feel that feeling of success, and that habit becomes embedded. And then actually you start to see yourself differently as a person, and therefore that behavior grows.
Mm. In terms of client work, can you give me any more examples of how you've applied it in your client work?
Yeah. So like 10 seconds on behavior design, the things that you think about are whether you can change the context, motivation, ability, which is making things easier, and prompt. Now, most marketers start with motivation. Actually, BJ Fox says you always tackle that last. You start with context and making things easier. And we will look at a client brief through those four levers. And sometimes it's one of them and sometimes it's a combination of them, but that helps us to come to the strategy and the creative idea. So I'll give you a couple of examples of that. So one, which I think we're quite well known for, was for a charity called Adult Cerebral Palsy Hub. They wanted care parity for people with cerebral palsy. The cerebral palsy community told us they were tired and in pain from trying to make their voices heard and getting fair healthcare like people with other lifelong health conditions get. And the client had been doing all the right stuff. So rational reports, trying to speak to politicians, and everyone was ignoring them. When we read the report, we were like, hang on, this feels like it should be illegal. People with CP are being treated like second-class citizens. And it gave us the creative idea of making a set of mock second-class citizen stamps, which generously people like Rosie Jones and Lost Boy Sky gave their images to. And our ask, what we said, was so easy, so simple, that it could go onto the back of that postage stamp, care parity for CP. That idea meant that we made a media furore, and we also got the attention of ministers, and we ended up getting an all-party parliamentary group for care parity for CP. But what was brilliant about it was it gave the community a really easy way to make their voices heard and a really easy way for politicians to understand what the problem was and how they could help to solve it.
Thank you. Yeah, you're making me think about the government, the UK government, or now Nesta's nudge unit, which was set up, and perhaps people will know from COVID, which that whole piece about nudging people, you're talking about ease, but just being able to use different ways and influences to get people to do something, in that case, to get the vaccine. But I think it's really interesting to hear about it used in the context of lobbying, what you might consider almost maybe a more corporate campaign as well, that real sort of behavioral economics combined with the creativity in that healthcare space. Really, really interesting.
And I think, I mean, more widely, right, creativity is never a bad thing. So we are fundamentally a creative consumer agency. That's the background that we've come from. But we do some work that goes into charities and campaigning organizations. We've done some work for corporates as well. And creativity is only ever going to make any of that work better, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
For us, it's a really interesting way to think about what the problem is. So one of the things that people will often do is if they want to do a behavior, they will think about it as like an aspiration, like get fit, rather than be specific about what that actually looks like, i.e. go to the gym 3 times a week for 20 minutes after work. And if you think about client briefs, quite often that's the same. They've got these really broad objectives, but they're not actually specific about the audience and the behavior that we want that audience to do. So it just helps us to get a little bit more specific about what the problem is. And I think that's always a much easier way to get to a good creative idea as well, is being specific about what the problem is.
Yeah, absolutely. It's being specific. And as you said, actually, you talked about definition of creativity early, which is about combinational creativity and joining things, problem solving, and being creative in the way that you solve problems. You need to be clear on what the problem is to start with, don't you? And that's, like you say, a big thing then broken down can be really helpful. Someone said to me on the podcast recently, you have to fall in love with the problem before you can fall in love with the solution. And that sounds like a really great way to start getting more granular about that. If anyone listening today thinks, oh, this is really interesting, I don't know where to start, how would you give someone a tip on how to get started in this area?
So I would say the easiest way to do it is think about what you want to do and then think about how you can make it really, really small to start off with. So if you take the tiny habits recipe, that's easy to remember. It's ABC, it's anchor, behavior, celebration, because of what I just talked about success. Let's say your habit is you want to be more creative, right? So I would say, okay, let's assume you work in the industry, every morning you're reading news in some form, whether it's the paper or it's on social media. Pick one thing that you've seen that morning and come up with an idea. And then, you know, you've had an idea, so you're probably going to feel good naturally, but, you know, do a high five, fist pump, smile yourself in the mirror, whatever, to make yourself feel successful. And then keep doing that every day. And I think it's just quite fun. Like we were joking about with that Peppa Pig, the Peppa Pig's mum's pregnant story the other week. And like doing our newsreads, and obviously that was kind of the big story of the day, right? What would we do next? And I was like really pleased with myself because I said, release the Palmer Sutra. And that's how Mummy and Daddy Pig got into that position. Not necessarily the best idea, but it's just fun getting into that habit of coming up with ideas every day. And like I used to work with Simon Moore at Mischief, and he was always like, I just need to have one good idea a day. I did that creative profiling once where my creative profile is the Fool, which means you just come up with a lot of ideas and you're just happy to have a lot of ideas and see what sticks. And I was thinking this morning before doing this, I would say I've had a good 5 ideas already this morning in all sorts of different ways. And that's, it's really important to just keep having ideas. And I think we were talking earlier about it's better to have ideas full stop and then you can get to the good ones. Like a writer would say, you need to do a bad first draft.
Yeah, absolutely. And writers and script writers in particular also, they don't judge their ideas as they're having them. So I work with quite a lot of script writers and people that work in that field and that work on things like Emmerdale and Corrie and, you know, script writing. And they're looking for proliferation of ideas and they just call it material and they don't judge it as good or bad until they decide the job that it has to do. And I think sometimes that's really helpful as well. It's just say, look, it's all just material. It's all just stuff until we decide the job that it's got to do. By the way, I love I think the Palmer Sutra needs to come into existence. I think there's a butcher somewhere that's like, that needs a local butcher to wherever you live, like needs that idea in their shop window right now.
Oh, I think you, like you were just saying, so I think it's like Nora Ephron that says everything is copy. And you were talking earlier about gratitude journaling and then journaling more widely. And like one of the things I've been trying to do lately is I said to you, I've been trying to write more and write poetry and be in poetry slams. And I read this book that was recommended by the poet Mike Garry, who's amazing, by the way, which is about how to write better. And one of the things is about just having a notebook where you just note down stuff that you see. So on my phone, I've just got loads of like couple of keywords or like something I overheard somebody say or something I realized, and I might not do anything with them for a while, but it is kind of just spotting those interesting things or those patterns or those trends that you know that there's something that you can make more of.
Yeah, I heard Paloma Faith talking about exactly the same thing on the radio the other day, and she was saying that that's where how she gets her ideas. She sits on the tube and she'll listen to someone say something, and actually once you tune into that, the things that you hear sometimes people saying on the tube or on the train or wherever you are so outrageous sometimes and so bonkers that you think no one would believe that if you actually said that you'd sort of heard a snip of it somewhere.
I know. I also think there's like nothing funnier than real people either. And like sometimes when I think marketers like don't think about the audience as real people, and they are, you know, they are funnier and messier and weirder and all those things, because they're, you know, they're people that we know, but they're not the same as the people that we see written in a pen portrait on a PowerPoint slide.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that sums up our conversation really nicely, in the sense that so much of the creative process is messy. It's not this straight line. It's not this sort of like, well, yeah, we're going off in this. It like we were talking earlier, it's the sweat, it's the grunt, it's the grit, it's the hard work to get something somewhere. But something like this BJ Fogg's Tiny Habits or Behavioral Science can at least help us to start to make some sense of the mess.
Yes. And I think there's lots of reasons why I was drawn to his work. But one of them is just that it works for everybody. So, you know, often we'll all be working across markets and across different cultures, but this, it really looks at like fundamental human truths. And it can give you lots of, it doesn't mean everybody's the same and it doesn't mean there's only one answer, but it starts you from a point of really understanding like what makes humans do what humans do, and knowing that they are, you know, maybe a little bit irrational, trying to think about the best way to organize it. And I liked it because I find it really simple and a really useful model to work through.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you so much, Gemma. Thanks for being on the podcast and sharing everything about Shook, how you're working and what you're shaking. So thanks very much for being on the podcast.
Oh, you're welcome. It was a pleasure. It's always a joy to talk to you, Claire. And I love talking about creativity.
I hope you found Gemma's examples of how to implement tiny habits into your own work inspiring and useful. I loved hearing from her how these science-backed tips can really help with creative breakthroughs and get through some of that mess that we talked about. I've just got one more thing for you to think about, and it's called habit stacking. Habit stacking is a really powerful tool. It works like this. You take an existing habit, like brushing your teeth, and attach a new habit to it. So BJ Fogg's example is that after brushing your teeth, we all know we need to floss our teeth. You floss just one tooth. And it's pretty likely that if you do one, then you'll go on to do more. But you leave the floss out somewhere where it's simple for you to do it. And you just say to yourself, I'm just going to floss one tooth. Pairing habits makes them easier to remember and to maintain. And as James Clear says, the cue triggers the habit. It's the first link in the chain, like leaving out the floss for you the night before. I've got a really good practical example of this. Like many of you probably are, I'm a daily taxi service for my child, going to his after-school activities or whatever it is. And it's all too easy just to sit there in the car, scrolling through your Instagram or answering your emails out of hours. But that is not very gratifying existence, and it can really feel like a chore. So going back to my aim of wanting, frankly, needing to exercise, I found a gym that was 2 minutes away from where I take him to his classes. And that meant that I started to form a new habit of going to the gym twice a week, stacking it on top of being mum's taxi service. So what it meant was that I had to choose almost not to go instead of going because it was so close. I would have to drive past the gym, which of course would have all sorts of connotations and make me feel guilty as well. A new habit formed, which I have done for over a year, and I'm still not loving it, but I am so much more likely to go. Davina McCall says that she's much more likely to exercise herself if she puts her gym gear on in the morning. And just that act of putting it on means it's much more likely that she'll do it later on in the day because she doesn't have an excuse. So just think about this in relation to being more creative. What existing habits do you have that you could stack onto to help yourself to be more creative? Could your next big idea start with a moment in your daily routine? I think an easy win here is if you are a tea or coffee drinker, I'm just a prolific tea drinker, and you make your own brew, then whenever you go to the kettle and wait those 3 minutes for the kettle to boil or whatever it is that you're doing, take your notepad and just see what you can achieve in those 3 minutes, whether it's generating ideas for yourself, for a project, for a client, whatever it is. Or think about what you can do in those 3 minutes that you want to do. So I just want to recap what I've talked about today in terms of nurturing your creativity through these tiny habits. The first one, start a creativity journal. Just one line a day can help build your creative muscles. As we heard from Gemma, scheduling micro creativity sessions, just small pockets of focused creative time, can yield surprising results and help you get over that sort of hump of we have to generate ideas in a room for an hour. We don't have to do that. Celebrate your small wins. This is really crucial to this whole philosophy of tiny habits, is that rather than relying on our motivation all the time, is that we start to build our habits through celebrating what we've achieved. And we do that by starting small. So reward your creative efforts to strengthen that habit loop. And the last one, habit stack. Just find something that you might be able to attach a creative practice to from an existing routine to make it easier for yourself to try, to do, and to stick to. And I think it's about remembering that creativity is not always about grand gestures or waiting for inspiration to strike. As I often say when I'm training, if we wait for inspiration to strike, if we wait for the muse, we might be waiting a very, very long time. It's all about these consistent small actions that compound over time. I'll put links to all the books I've referenced in the show notes today. And my invitation to you this week is simple. Just choose a tiny habit and commit to it for 7 days. That is it. Not a complete lifestyle overhaul, just one small step forward to becoming the creative person you want to be. Thank you so much for listening to the Now Go Create podcast. We have listeners in 43 countries now around the world, which is absolutely incredible. And I'd love to hear from you which habit you're trying and how it's working for you. So please do tag me on social media or send me a message at claire@nowgocreate.co.uk to share your experience or any other feedback you've got on the podcast. I genuinely would love to hear it. Until next time, here's to tiny habits and the big creative breakthroughs they bring. Now, go create. Thanks for listening to this episode of Now Go Create. I hope you enjoyed the conversation on how to upskill and unleash your creativity at work. Check out the free downloadable worksheet for this episode on my website, nowgocreate.co.uk. And if you like the episode, please be sure to subscribe to our show and follow us on social media at Now Go Create. Now, go create.